Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in the house of God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're a just God, a righteous God, that you speak to your people. Father, as it is written in the word, Lord, if we have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord God, that you will fill. And Father God, we pray tonight that you will open up ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the church. As I yield this vessel over to you and let this man decrease, that the Spirit of God may increase and speak to the people of God. Father, we surrender all to you. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Young, be seated. Hallelujah. I didn't catch the name of our visitors here, but it's nice to have you here with us this evening. Hope you enjoy yourself here. I can say that I hope I challenge you in the scriptures and the word of God. It's easy to go to a church and hear a preacher preach about things that you've heard. I can come in here and preach about Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we could all say yay and amen. You can enter into the church, and I could say that you've entered in here and could talk about what you know. And that's great. It's good to stir up that pure mind within you. But on the other hand, I hope and pray that I could challenge your faith and your thoughts, that you could press into the kingdom of God in a greater measure, in a greater way. Amen. You know, when we think naturally speaking outside of the mind of God, you know, there's a man that, you know, when we think of the ways of God in a man's heart, you know, and God wants to indoctrinate us. He wants to teach us. He wants to lead us and guide us into all truths. He wants to see us the deep, the Bible says, you know, calling forth to the deep. He wants to see us praying that God would grant us the spirit of revelation, praying that we could be a steward of the mysteries of God, that he would unveil the mysteries of God to us. You know, and this is when we think it spiritually, but naturally speaking, you know, as a man, because he's made in the perspective of, we might say, the image of God, man likes to teach. You know, and if a man has a skill, if he's a carpenter, if he's a pilot, if he's a mechanic or a painter, whatever, he usually desires to help somebody, to teach them. And it satisfies him to be able to pass something down. You know, and a father raising a son, a father likes to teach a trade. If he's any kind of a father, that's what he should be doing. He should be concerned for the children. He should be trying to indoctrinate them and teach them a trade, or teach them something that they would go on and in life to better themselves and to make them a better, maybe we could say, person, or maybe a more successful person or whatever. But you know, spiritually speaking, as Brother Paul said, I fathered you in the gospel. And speaking about, he travailed until Christ was formed within them. And when we start thinking in the realms of the spiritual things of God, you know, a minister that has the Spirit of God desires to feed the people or to challenge them in God and in the Word of God. You know, many times people, when they're out meeting people and talking to people, and so oftentimes, just talking with you for a moment, maybe gathering some minds together for we could possibly go into the scriptures and the word. But when you're out meeting people, you know, hey, shake hands, how you doing? And if it enters into a, what we could say, a Christian or a spiritual or a religious conversation, it's usually, what kind of church do you go to? Well, are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you Church of God? Are you, you know, and they go through all these things. Which nowadays, that doesn't work hardly anymore, because you could find somebody that says, well, this is what I am, and there's so many minds and so many thoughts. Bible says worlds without end, and there's so many worlds out here, brothers and sisters, in the religious worlds. Brother Chris sharing with me in India, and I believe he was talking about they had 50,000 gods or whatever. And in different countries, and in America, I could say that we probably got more than 50,000 gods. They make a god out of everything. Every rock and roller that comes along, and every pervert, and every sodomite, and every filthy thing, they just because they could sing or they could do something, they lift them up and make a god, and people worship and follow after some of the biggest kind of foolishnesses that there ever was. And, you know, they say, well, they don't take them as gods, but you put anything before the living God, it becomes a god. And we have to be very careful in those things. It becomes idolatry. So, but there again, as I say, then many times when people meet, they say, what are you? And what they do is they want to scope them out and weigh them up. I heard a preacher one time many years ago, he said, you ever see two dogs when they meet? They always come up sniffing on each other, checking each other out. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's kind of the way people are. They all go back to the same old beast realm. And people, when they come up, they want to size each other up. If it's in the world, the masculineness of a man, you know, they're going to size up another man. They're going to be looking at him and size him up and see what he's made out of. And the thing is that these things are human natures and they follow in all realms. Now, I know that when we're Christ-like, a Christian, we're supposed to kill out the things of the human side of life and all of the thoughts of man. And we're supposed to kill out all carnality and those things. But still, just speaking with you for a moment. And when we think of people again sizing each other, say, well, this is what he is. I know that dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses over the years, and they always want in the beginning of their conversation is find out what you are, for they know how to deal with you. Well, they have real problems dealing with Brother Rob because they can't find some place to put me in. I remember one time one of them asked me if I was born again, and I said, yes, sir, I'm born again. And he goes, I got you now. He goes, now I know what you are, one of them born againers. I said, hallelujah. I'd like to shout that from the rooftops, amen, because the Bible said, lest you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I was nothing to be ashamed about. I got Bible and word for that. Now, if I said I was Baptist, Methodist, or Church of God, or Assemblies of God, or whatever, and we find maybe good people and all of the above, but, you know, then they thought they had some way to scope me out or to find some kind of way. And I told them simply, I said, brother, the only thing that I'm in defense of is the Word of God, not denominationalism. Or I've known many great denominations that have been started up by great men of God, full of the Holy Ghost, that went forth great sacrifices, start great works. But the brethren have passed on or whatever, and the works have gone into a denominationalism, and they change. They're given to change when the Bible says we're not to be given to change. Amen. So the thing is we got to stay with the Word in defense of the Word. And when we try to size folks up, we don't want to size them up to some kind of denominationalism or what we think or what we believe. It's got to stay in the Word of God. I tell people continually, I say, brother, if you want to speak to me or you want to talk to me, if you're in disagreement with me, come with the Word. Amen. Because I'm not going to line up with grandmas and grandpas or brothers and sisters or aunts and uncles. I'm not here to do that. The Bible teaches that Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword, to put the mother and the daughter or the father and the son at odds with one another, against one another. Amen. And what does that is the Word of God, because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we'll stay with the Word. Amen. Let's read some scripture here. I want you to turn over to the 2 Timothy, the second epistle to Timothy there. We read it. We're going to go over, I believe, to about the third chapter there. Let's begin there at the first verse, 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into house and led silly captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But even men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Brothers and sisters, many things could be said here in the reading of the scriptures. Number one, I could speak about the condition of what we would say this church age. When we think of church ages, again, we think of a dispensation of time. When we think of an age, like they say about when they speak of the Dark Ages, and it was the Catholic Church preserving the Word of God through many, many years through the Dark Ages, which they say approximately 500 and some years or whatever, this Word was preserved, but it was considered an age. Now, when we talk about the seven churches in the Bible, and it speaks about them, and it talks about this church, the Laodicean Church, and when we think of, we use a term church ages, and we use this term in the perspective of a thought of, again, a dispensation or a church time. Again, I've spoke about this in times past when we think of the seven spirits of God it speaks about in the book of Revelations, and people's minds will sometimes wonder, you know, well, what do you mean seven spirits of God? You know, there's one God, one faith, one baptism. But when we think of the seven spirits of God, it isn't that there's seven gods. It's God manifesting in the power of the Holy Ghost into seven men in the seven churches or seven church ages, bringing forth a revelation through that day and hour. Now, God chose to use man, brothers and sisters. I know people sometimes draw up when they think like this, but God has chosen great men down through the ages to bring a revelation forth. And when they bring forth this great revelation, as Martin Luther brought forth a revelation of faith, and he was going against the works of the law, we might say, in Catholicism or the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church would have been considered the elect church or the elect lady at one time because the Word of God was being used. But then as a brighter light came or a revelation or an understanding came forth, it wasn't what they were teaching was wrong, but we became to a greater accountability when we come to understand faith. So when the doctrine of faith came in, it brought an accountability through a church age messenger, when we say Martin Luther, and he brought this church age in. And we come over and we find Wesley bringing a message in, and Wesley brought a message of sanctification, which is the founder of what we could say the Methodist Church and Wesleyan Church and these things. But there again, I say the people that were under such a great man of God, they departed. They departed some of the sound doctrine. And then when other messengers came in later times and brought greater revelations, the church should have accepted or adapted to these revelational teachings or light. The Bible, when it's also speaking about the seven churches, which we say the seven church ages, and when we're speaking about this, it speaks about a sevenfold light or a light seven times brighter. We know that we are the light of the world, and we know light has to do with an understanding. The Bible teaches about children of light, and it teaches about children of darkness, children of the resurrection, and children that are unto a resurrection unto death or unto darkness. So we find that we have to rightly divide. We have to understand and differentiate between the body, soul, and the spirit, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, the natural, physical, and spiritual world, all being biblical terminologies, the translation to the spirit, the transformation to the mind or the soul, and the transfiguration to the body, all biblical terminology. And many times people will separate themselves and they start denominations and they do many things because they have not learned to properly differentiate in a dimensional projection to understand and comprehend the word. There's people that have separated themselves from other people, say, well, this one believes in post-tribulation rapture. This one over here believes in pre-tribulation rapture. Well, I'm here to let them know there is no such thing in the Bible as rapture. It's the word rapture, but we have to know that there is a catching up or a transfiguration to the body, or awaiting the redemption of the body, to be biblically correct. Just as I explained, as we use the terminology of church ages, we could use a term such as this when we say church ages, if we could take the time to express that we're talking about the seven churches. Now, but we could use a term as long as it genders the right proper thought to a dispensation of time. There's nothing wrong with using a term of rapture if we would use the term understanding it has to do with a catching up. Amen. Now, when we find that the people are disputing over a pre, post, and a mid-tribulation, well, the thing is if they could come to the mind of revelation, they would find that they're all three right. Amen. But it's a difference between a spirit rapture, a bodily rapture, and then a soul rapture. and we got Bible for all three, but because they cannot differentiate between body, soul, and spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, or natural, physical, and spiritual, because they can't do that, they try to bring everything into a natural dimension, so they would say, when they would speak, they would think, well, we know that the church is going to be in the tribulation. Well, the church will not be in the tribulation period, but there will be elect of God in the tribulation period. You say, what is the difference between the elect and the church? Well, you see, there again, we have to differentiate between the spiritual elect and the natural elect. The natural elect has to do with the Jew, the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And this natural Jew has been blinded in part, turned over to a stupor that they could be preserved, because sin cannot be imputed unless there's a knowledge of sin. So we find that these Jews being protected because sin not being imputed unless there's a knowledge, and being protected by being turned over to a stupor that they see not. But then yet there will be a day that their eyes come open. When we consider and we look now, and we find that there is a spiritual elect, and when we find that the spiritual elect being caught up to the throne of God, if we turn to the book of Revelations, we would find written in the book, we would find that it talks about this woman in travail to bring forth a child, and the red dragon laying there to devour the child just as soon as it's born, and it's there to devour. But it says that this child was caught up, brothers and sisters, and we find this child being caught up to heaven, but a place prepared for the woman in the wilderness. So we have to differentiate there. And when we think of, there is a Canaan land, and there is a place in the wilderness that they wandered for 40 years and nights, and then there was a place of Egypt. Three different projections, once again, of a body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Again, it's the same way, but we have to differentiate and understand that the people that are in the wilderness have to do with the second heaven. Now, when he said, I don't know in a man whether or not knowing if he was in body or in spirit, but 14 years ago was caught away into the third heaven. So we know that if he was caught up into the third heaven, we do have to know that there must be a first and a second heaven. First heaven having to do with the bodily realm or the natural realm. The second heaven to do with the soul realm. And again, the physical realm, blood life, beast life. And then when we go into the third heaven, we know it has to do with the spirit. So when we think of being caught away, and I tell people, I say, this rapture that you're looking for and waiting up, the Bible says that we're dwelling in heavenly places and that we've been caught up into heavenly places. And I say, brothers and sisters, my spirit, as that child was born, has already caught away into the heavenlies. This is how that I've passed from death unto life. According to the scriptures, it says that the last enemy of God was death. Amen. And Jesus, when he hung his head on the cross of Calvary, said, it is finished. Amen. We're not waiting for death to be abolished or conquered. The abolishing of death has already taken place when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. So we got to believe this, brothers and sisters. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The people of this world are yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. But I'm here to declare to you what is written within the scriptures, that now we are the sons of God. Amen. Because we've passed from death unto life and we've been born again, brothers and sisters, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we no longer observe the lying vanities of the flesh. The Bible said if we observe lying vanities, we forsake our own mercy. Amen. So we don't observe the lying vanities of this old garment of iniquity that's aging and into corruption, or on death row. Amen. It's appointed unto this man once to die. But we have another dwelling within us in that inner quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, the Bible said, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, is a quickening spirit. Amen. And I number myself with the spirit world. I've been filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm numbered as a spiritual being. Amen. No longer. The Bible says old things passed away and all things become new. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I've been crucified with Christ. I was taken to the watery grave and buried in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. And I was resurrected as a new creature in Christ. Amen. You cannot no longer number me after the first birth of the Adamic nature of Adam. You cannot no longer number me with that. You're going to have to number me with the elect children of God. Hallelujah. As the Bible says, now ye are the sons of God. I know that Jesus spoke to them. And when he asked them, he said, why? He said, why? why do you want to crucify me? Or why do you want to stone me, is what he said. And they said, not for the good works that you have done. They was wanting to stone him because he was a mere man making himself to be God. But Jesus turned to them and he said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? Amen. Brothers and sisters, when it says in there in the scriptures that now we are the sons of God, amen. And when God brings forth us in the birth of this born again experience, he birthed us into the eternal realm of sonship, brothers and sisters. And this is why it is written in the Psalms where it says, ye are gods, but die like mere men from a lack of knowledge. We are indoctrinated in the word of God to bring you to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. The Bible said the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints, brothers and sisters. And we've got to come into the mind of understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. And you say, but brother, I cannot even speak or think like that. Brothers and sisters, when you are married unto the Lord Jesus Christ and he becomes your husbandman, then you being the bride, being married unto him, you take on his name and you become joint heirs with him in everything. You brothers, you have passed from death unto life. You become heir of eternal life, heir of salvation. Amen. This is what is written in the scriptures. Don't let it be robbed from you. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. He would like to rob it away from you and take these things away from you, and you need to stand on what is written. Amen. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. We go by what is written in the word, and it's yea and amen, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And we're not moved by every wind of doctrine. We're not going to be moved or tossed to and fro or like a man running and beating at the air according to the scriptures. We're going to stand in the word of God. Amen. They'll number us as a cult. They'll push us out of their synagogues because the Bible says so. And they will take and put you to death thinking that they're doing God a service, brothers and sisters. But we got to stand on the word. There's a famine in America for the word of God. They're teaching people and they're just itching ears, but they're got away from the word of God. They just want to talk about the love of God. They want to talk about how good God is and all this and that. But God is angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. We need to come out of the world and be a separate people. We need to separate ourselves from the affairs of this world, and we need to press our way into the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches us. And if we're going to be stewards of the mysteries of God, like the Bible says and commands, or a good soldier for Christ, he keeps himself out of the affairs of the world. Amen. And this is what we need to do. So when we start differentiating, and we're speaking again for a moment here, and we're speaking about many things here. If I speak to you as a man, I could say, oh, wretched man that I am, as Brother Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I could talk about this man on death row, and it's appointed unto him to die. Amen. But then yet I could talk about this inner quickening spirit that I've been birthed into. Amen. Into the spirit realm. And I could speak about this that cannot die. Nor sin. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Yeah. Amen. But then yet, does that give us a license, like it says in Romans 6, that we understand that where sin is, that grace abounds that much more, and we continue on in sin? And he says, God forbid. You see, when we differentiate, brothers and sisters, between the spirit world and we differentiate between the natural world, there's got to be a death to one and a life to the other. The Bible said that the seed must go into the ground and it must die that it can bring forth life. Amen. And the only way that Jesus Christ can live in you and that you could be partakers of eternal life and live with him is by dying. That's the only way. And you say, well, brother, what do I have to do? Wait till I grow old in an old age and die. No, the scripture says that we were crucified with Christ before the world ever was, that our name was put in the book of life before the foundation of this world. And we've got to enter into a mind of faith. Amen. Faith and walk by faith. We speak by faith. And without faith, we cannot know or please God. And faith comes by hearing of the word of God. And we have to understand that God is not man's ways, that God's ways are contrary to man's ways. And we cannot think carnally or naturally minded. The carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. And what we must do is we must enter into the mind of Christ. Again, it thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And if we would enter into this mind and walk in the spirit of that mind, then we would speak those things that are not as if they were. Amen. Faith being again the substance of things hoped for, and things not seen. People will not see that. When you tell them, I'm passed from death unto life, I'm eternal, I cannot die, they say, I'll show you. And they pull their shotgun out and blast splashed your blood all over the place, but still your words are factual. Your words are correct. It doesn't matter what they do to this body. The Bible says, fear that one that could take your soul. Don't worry about the one that could take your body. They may throw you in a box. They may smell your old stinking flesh coming up, emanating out there, put a bunch of flowers around you to cover up that old wretched smell, but it doesn't matter. That's not death, brothers and sisters. The Bible said that there's some twice dead, plucked up by the roots, while they still yet live. While you see them walking and see them functioning, they're according to the scriptures and the word that they're twice dead. You understand that? And when you see a man in a box and his chest ain't going in and out and he's not breathing, you say that's death. Oh no, that's to be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord, and that is life. Amen. So we got to learn to differentiate, brothers and sisters, and understand these things and speak those things. And when Jesus Christ is the high priest of your confession, if he is the high priest of your confession, then your confession should be in him. Amen. This is why the churches are going around teaching in this day and hour that you're sinners and sin every day, because Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels and he's taught these preachers to teach that for the people cannot have passed from death unto life. Amen. Because it's according to their confession. The churches are teaching that you're a sinner. The Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, ye that sin are of the devil. If I teach you that you are a sinner and that you sin every day, I'm teaching you that you are of the devil. Amen. And the Bible says that if you are a sinner, that he does not hear your prayer. So I got to teach you that he does not hear your prayer. Amen. If you are a sinner, I invite you to get born again. Amen. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be filled with his Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, that you can have the power to conform to the image of God, amen. And it's not just some simple little prayer. It is actually receiving the seed of Christ, amen. Just as a natural woman, when she wants to reproduce the image of her husband, she receives the blood seed into her womb, and this blood seed brings forth a child, amen. And if you want to be born of God, you must receive the seed, amen, by entering into the secret place with God, into the secret chambers, amen. And receive that seed. And if you don't receive that seed, you're none of his. Amen. Because the Bible said it's that seed that remaineth in you that keeps you from sin. Amen. This is why you can't sin. It says because the seed remaineth in you. Amen. So you must enter into that place. Hallelujah. So the thing is we have to have a profession. And if Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession should be exactly what he said. Amen. He said the last enemy of God to be conquered was death. Amen. And death has been abolished because Jesus finished it when he hung his head. Amen. So your confession should be in him that you have passed from death unto life and that you are eternal, sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there ain't no devil of hell could pluck you out of the hand of a living God. The Bible said he never lost a one. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. He never lost to one. Hallelujah. Amen. There ain't no principality. There ain't no power of darkness. There ain't no devil of hell. There ain't anything that can pluck you out of the hand of God. Amen. When you're a blood-bought, born-again, elect child of God. Hallelujah. There's many brothers and sisters that are believing a lie and damn. They're going forth and they're going forth out into this, what we say in this world. And they say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Oh yes, I've been born again. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, they may say. But the Bible said if they come preaching any other word than what Jesus Christ preached or what Brother Paul was preaching, it said, let them be accursed. Amen. And the thing is we got to start standing on the word and quit going around with the popularity and quit going around with what they think is religion. They say, well, the end time move is for us to all come together. We got to bring them all together and we got to come together in fellowship. The only thing that needs to come together is the elect of God. I was at Jesus meeting there over there in Washington, D.C. and they called it Washington for Jesus. And a guy got up there and he said, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to come together with our Catholics and our Baptists and our Methodists, and God wants us all to come together. God put the denominations there to separate them. He don't want them together because two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And we got to make separations from those people that are not walking upright in the scriptures. Just as it said right here, they were put out And we got to put them out, amen. We can't keep them. We can't do it. We want to get people indoctrinated into the mind of God. Bringing things together in uncleanness and bringing things in false doctrine together is not what God has intended. He is looking for an elect, brothers and sisters, the elect of God. And the elect of God will hear His word. The elect of God will have ears to hear, and they will have eyes to see. And they have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. They may not understand in their intellectual mind, but there's something in their spirit that is drawing them and calling them to the truth. Amen. And they'll hear and they'll come to that. Amen. Because it's the drawing of God. Amen. And they will come to it. You won't be deceived. You cannot be deceived. Amen. If you are the elect child of God. Amen. You cannot be deceived by false doctrine. Amen. Because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. There is a protection of the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your spirit. And something, man, it'll just cause you a check in your spirit, amen. I could remember as a young minister and traveling around the country and had many questions and asking questions. And sometimes I'd go to a minister and they'd have me preach in his church, but I'd been in the scriptures. I'd been reading the word and I'd have questions about things. I think, well, this is a man of God. He's been pastoring for 20 years. I could ask this guy, surely he'll know. And I'd ask him, he'd say, oh, yes, brother, this is what that means. Oh, yes. And he'd go through something. And I wouldn't tell him I wasn't in agreement with him because I'm the one that asked. But it didn't bear witness here. It just didn't bear witness here. So I was thinking I was not satisfied in my heart, in my spirit. Not my heart, I say my spirit. I was not satisfied. The Bible says that man's heart is continually evil and wicked. And he doesn't even know his own heart. So I don't follow after my heart. I follow after the Spirit of God. But there was something here telling me that this wasn't right. So I kept on yearning and longing and pressing into the kingdom of God. And I kept on, and then finally I found satisfaction. I found a place that I could find the answers, amen. And you say, where was that? Was it in prayer? Was it in prayer? Let me tell you something. God has put men of God in the earth. Hallelujah. And He's put men of God with the wisdom and the understanding. There's 9 gifts in the Bible. And one is wisdom and knowledge. They give them the wisdom and the knowledge and discerning of spirits. And the thing is, I found a great man of God that helped me and indoctrinated me into many great wonderful truths of God's word. Amen. And the glory goes to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give honor to who honor's due. And I honor my pastor. He's passed on. But I honor him because he was a great man of God. A great awesome brother in the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we have the same Holy Ghost living and dwelling today, and we got to seek after the mind of Christ, amen, and pray that this mind would be in us, amen, and pressing in to the things of God and the kingdom of God, hallelujah. And it establishes us. We're not moved around by every wind of doctrine. We're not tossed to and fro. We're established and we're grounded and got a root, amen. And when the winds come along, the winds of doctrine come along, we're not moved. You know, when the storms of life come along, we're established and we're not moved. Amen. We buckle down. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost. The brothers we read here in the scriptures, he said, when these persecutions come, amen, we're girded up in the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we could stand on that day of adversity. Amen. But you know why people are moved so much and they're not grounded is because they're not established in the Holy Ghost. They're not full of the power of God. Amen. The Bible said that he gave us the Holy Ghost to conform to the image of God. There's people that are speaking in tongues. There's people that are dancing in the churches and they're doing all this. Say, oh yes, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but I don't see the conformity to the image of God. When there's things in your life that you've got to make excuses for, and it's not like Jesus. If there's something that you're doing that you can't see Jesus doing, then it's not of God. Then you need to repent, amen, and say, God, fill me with your spirit. Hallelujah. The power to conform to your image, amen. He won't put more on you than you could bear. He's not going to put more on you. I can't expect a man to walk into this church and walk in such a way of perfection because it takes a time of indoctrinating and tutoring. Just as a child, when it's born, when my son was born, I couldn't sit him in the seat of the airplane and say, son, here, fly it. Has to be trained and indoctrinated to be a pilot. And the same thing in Christ. This is the obligation of the ministry of God and the saints of God. Hallelujah. That we could take and nurture them up and gird them up in the way that they should go. And train them, amen. That's a responsibility on each and every one of us. Hallelujah. You say, that's the preacher's job. Or this is what he's supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, we're a family of God. Amen. Have you ever noticed, even in the beast realm, that when you find a flock of anything together, that there's a unity in that flock, and even the beasts that would be outside the camp, we might say, or outside the flock, trying to look for a place, looking for that weak one, and it's when they get away. It's when they start pulling away and get out there a little bit away. That's when the wolf moves in and gets them, amen. There is a unity, brothers, in strength and in numbers, amen. And the Bible, this is when the Holy Ghost came, is when they was all in unity of one mind and one accord, amen. And the Spirit of God came to them. Brothers and sisters, it's important to stay in the unified mind of God. It's important to stay. When we start thinking that we can handle it and we can do this and we can do that and we can go here and we can go there, it's just Satan luring your mind to get you away from some sound doctrine and from protection in the flock of God. Hallelujah. Because you can't get out there. If one can set 1,000 aflight or two can set 10,000, you get off out there on your own. I even know that the ministers were sent out too, brothers and sisters. He sent two of them out. I won't travel into foreign fields as a rule unless I take somebody with me and I go or have somebody waiting there. It don't matter what you're doing. I won't go and counsel people unless I have a witness being there, because people and the devil could lie against the truth. I'll never counsel a woman by herself. Amen. I will not ever do that with the help of God, because it should just be just as we read here about these silly women laden with lust. And the thing is you got to just use wisdom, because a woman could lie against the truth and destroy the whole ministry. And if a minister's walking where he should be with God, they will not be able to find an occasion against him, because he walks beyond reproach. And even though he may be innocent, he's still got to make sure that he has a witness there with him at all times. Amen. That they cannot be destroyed. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is why we have to use wisdom in all things. Amen. Keep things decent. Keep things in order. Hallelujah. So the thing is we're called to preach God's word, and we're called to preach the doctrine of God. I met a minister here not long back, and he says, well, I don't preach doctrine. Doctrine separates. Well, let me tell you, if you're not preaching doctrine, you got no business calling yourself a preacher, amen, because the scriptures teach us to preach doctrine, amen. Doctrine what sets us apart. Doctrine what puts us on the rock, brothers and sisters, to stay. Doctrine is what we're founded on, amen. We have to have doctrine. When we think of, I've been indoctrinated in the word, that's doctrine. Brothers and sisters, and if it says that if we receive any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, to let him be accursed, so we must be receiving a doctrine. Doctrine is important, amen. And we have to have a discipled life, a disciplined life. Again, disciple has to do with a disciplined way. And as we read here, and it's also in other places in the scriptures, the minister thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long suffering, amen. And the thing is we found that these things have left the church, amen. There's a great teaching throughout the churches in America in this day and hour, and they say that, oh no, we can't judge. When you hear a preacher tell you that you can't judge, you need to look him in the eye and say, sir, with all due respect, God bless you, but you're a liar and your father's the devil. That's what you need to tell him. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you that again. When a preacher tells you that you cannot judge, you need to look him in the eye and tell him that he is a liar and his father is the devil. Amen. I don't know if that sank in enough. Amen. But that's exactly what it is. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. The Bible teaches us that two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And if I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to be making some judgments. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, judge not lest you be judged in the same matter. If I judge you for being a drunkard and I'm sucking down the liquor, God's saying, hey, you know it's wrong. Sin can't be imputed unless there's a knowledge of, you know it's wrong, so now judgment's coming to you, amen. That doesn't tell me that I can't judge, but if I'm judging you for something, I'm letting God know that I understand that it's wrong, and then I'm bringing that judgment to myself. But when I'm walking beyond reproach and I ain't sucking down the alcohol and I ain't snorting on the dope and I ain't doing those things, and I look a man in the eye and I say, brother, I love you, but the Bible said that there ain't no drunkard's going to inherit the kingdom of God. And brother, I'm going to tell you like this. The Bible teaches that no whoremongers or no harlots or no sodomites are going to inherit the kingdom of God. You see, I'm not bringing judgment on myself. That's the word of God, brothers and sisters. And I owe that to him. And if I don't tell them that, then I bring the judgments of God on me, because the Bible said if you see evil coming to that city and you don't cry out against it, then the Bible teaches that the blood will be on your hands. And the Bible said that you know that the minister of sin of God, because one thing, he turns people away from their sins, amen. And that's why we have to make judgments, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's just make sure that we got where the Lord wants us to maybe stop or keep going. Amen. I know y'all know I can go all night. Amen. And I will if he says so. Hallelujah. Brother Chris and I was baptizing ministers and folks over there in the Philippines. I think it was about 1:30 in the morning, wasn't it, Brother Chris? We just came out of a camp meeting here. We was over here at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We thought we were shutting down about 10:30, and the Lord said, no, ain't time to close. Amen. And the people kept hitting their faces in the altar saying, God help me, set me free and deliver me. We saw people delivered. We saw people set free. Amen. This is God's house. It's his service. I'm his minister, and you are his people. Amen. And we submit to him, and we don't have any preconceived ideas of when and what we do. Amen. We just find the leading of his spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stay in the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's continue to stay in God's word. We're not again called in defense of doctrine of men. We're not called in defense of any kind of denomination. I'm not here to defend any man. I'm here to defend God's word. Now, if a man's preaching God's word, I'll stand in defense of what the man preached because it's God's word. Amen. But if it's not in God's word and it's not there, I cannot stand for it and I cannot defend it. Amen. So the thing is, let's stay in the scriptures. As Brother Troy called me out and asked me to come over and help a man to teach him some of the things of God's word, when I got there, the man was locked up in his spirit. I saw that I couldn't really say anything to him, and he started off with his old filthy, corrupt doctrine of devils, and he started off with his spewing and his vomiting, and I listened for a minute, and then I said, when I saw that he was in error of the scriptures, I said, brother, I said, let me ask you, do you have any Bible for what you just said? And he said, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. He said, this is the way that I am. I've been like this for 50 years, and I'm not going to change. So what can I say to that? So then I thought for a moment, as he was still spewing and vomiting, trying to maybe break through over that darkness of the devil, of the demon possession, one of the most strongest, wretched devils. I've dealt with drug addicts and harlots. I've dealt with sodomites. I've dealt with everything, but there is nothing more unclean than a religious reprobate devil. And as I tried to deal with this man and tried to help him or tried to find his mind or spirit, and he kept spewing and vomiting out in the spiritual perspective and a stench in the nostrils of God, I said, sir, I want to ask you one more thing. That's all. Just it. And I was settled in my heart. I was ready to go. And the brother asked me, he said, come on, Brother Rob, please don't go. Concerned for the man's soul. He said, please don't go. But I was finished at that point. I said, sir, let me ask you one thing. If I could show you in the Bible right here and could show you that you're in error, would you change? And he said, no, I wouldn't change. And that was it. Cut off. Just like that. Absolutely could cut yourself off before God. Amen. I'm not going to say the man's cut off, but he's in a dangerous place. He might go through some kind of calamity. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh will cease from sin. The man might have to go out here and roll himself up in his automobile. He might have to go out here and get paralyzed or crippled up. As one of the greatest miracles of this day and hour is when a man was in his health, and I've shared this with you. The man was in his strength and in his health, a healthy man. And he got all busted up in his go-kart and paralyzed and bound into a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And I say that was an awesome miracle of God, because the man come to find God and know God. Amen. The Bible said you're better off to enter into the kingdom of God maimed, or with your eyes plucked out or your hands cut off, is enter into hell with all of your facilities. I say that was the greatest miracle of God. The whole Pentecostal church is running after miracles, and they want to see them get out of the wheelchairs. They want to see the eyes come open, and they want to see those things. But that has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing whatsoever to do with a man being born again. He can come out of a wheelchair and walk his way into hell. But what we want to see is a man that's lame, that can't walk in the spirit, and get up and walk like a man in the spirit. A man that is blind and he gets his eyes opened up to the mind of God and the mind of Christ, that he could see good when good comes. Amen. That's a miracle of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we're not after the things of the flesh. We're after the things of the spirit. You know, the Bible said to be spiritual. Pray that God would grant unto you that spirit of revelation. That's what the Bible says. Pray that Christ could be revealed in your life. If you find attributes in your life that aren't of him, then the thing is what you need to do is pray that God would grant his spirit to you. You got to look for the attributes of God in your life. I had a man come through the door here not long back. And he come to me and wanted me to side up with him about how wretched this other brother was. Man, I went down and I saw this brother and he got in my face, man. And he cursed me and he done this and that. And I looked at him and smiled. I said, you know, praise God. I said, isn't God awesome? And it kind of shocked him. Well, what are you saying that for? You know, I'm sitting here telling you a story about a brother losing his cool and cursing me out. You should say this old wretched guy. Man, that brother ain't been born again. But I didn't say that. I just smiled and I said, man, isn't God awesome? You know what, God? I said, isn't God so awesome that he allowed you to exercise Christian attributes? How can you exercise temperance unless somebody's in your face? How can you exercise long-suffering or patience or gentleness or kindness? It's easy to be kind to somebody that's kind to you, but when somebody's in your face and you can say, I love you. They don't like that. When that preacher pulled his crowbar out and told me, I'm giving you 5 seconds to get out of this building, I'm going to jam it through you. I said, I love you. And I smiled. I'm not going to submit to no devil. I didn't get angry. The first time I said, that don't sound like a very Christ-like thing to do. Does it? I didn't see Jesus when they plucked his beard or spit in his face or beat him. You know, looking for the crowbar, I'll jam this thing through you. He was silent. The second time he said, I'm going to tell you one more time. I said, I love you. I didn't leave his building. I guess he was going to have to push it through me. I don't know, but he left his own building. I stood there in amazement. But you see, brothers and sisters, we need to have the love of God in our heart. The Bible said they hated him first and they'll hate you also. Amen. The man was a minister. He was a religious reprobate. He thought he had the word of God and he did not walk in the word. When you go to a man, and I challenge him, if you think I'm in error in this scripture, you come to me and say, brother, I've got the word of God, man, to show you I think you're in error. If I ever turn you away, then you need to run from this church fast. Can I say, brother, let's get the word out. Amen. I love it. I say, let's get the word out and let's get in it. I've been saying that on the radio. I've been saying that, and I've yet had anybody do word. I've had people come and make allegations and lie. I've had people do all kinds of things, but I have not yet anybody come with the word of God. Amen. And the Bible says, again, rightly dividing the word. If we went back one chapter from where we read, rightly dividing the word. I could take this word of God, and I could read to you in two different places. It would be contrary one to the other. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, I'll open it up and show it to you. But it isn't contrary because we know one's speaking to the spirit, one's speaking to the natural. The Bible said the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. The flesh man is appointed to death. The spirit man is appointed unto life. Amen. So those are contrary one to another. And I could show you again. And I use this as so oftentimes in 1 John 1 says, if you say you have not sinned, then you make him a liar and the truth is not in you. And you see, I don't tell people I have not sinned. And the Bible says if you have no sin, then you're a liar. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, that would be me speaking as a natural man that I've done something to enter into some kind of place that I can't sin. I had nothing to do with that. Jesus Christ is the one that conquered and abolished death. The Bible says that the transgression of the law is sin and that the sting of sin is death. Amen. And if you're a sinner, you have not passed from death unto life because the sting of sin is death. But I thank be to God that the Lord Jesus Christ abolished death, went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified on the cross that I could have life. He said that he put my name down in the book of life before this world ever was, so it couldn't have anything to do with me. And the thing is if he done this for me, he said that sin came by one man, and speaking of the Adamic nature and the fall of Adam, and then we find that life came but by one, and that's the second man, Adam, and that's the Jesus Christ. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because not of their deeds, it's because of the fall in the garden by one man, but then yet there was another one that came, the Lord Jesus Christ, that took that penalty of sin away. So then we find that we're not accountable to the deeds which be of the flesh, but we're accountable to the soul, and the Bible says it's the saving of the soul. Amen. So what we have to do is start pressing our way into the kingdom of God, and the Bible said that ye that endure to the end are saved. Hallelujah. So let's endure to the end. Hallelujah. The Bible said that when you turn and do evil, all of your goodness is forgot about. And praise be to God, the Bible says that when you've been evil and you turn and do good, that all of your evil is forgotten about. Amen. So God's a just God. It's like the Jehovah Witness said to the brother the other day. He said, what kind of God are you serving that it would put people into hell like that? The kind of God that went there for they wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.